Okay, thanks again, Jim. Again, good morning to each and every one of you. We'd like to welcome you again. We think of our memory verse, "Go ye," and the young people, the little young people left there, and they weren't quite gone. Thought that was kind of, "Go ye therefore and teach." And so we attempt to take in our Sunday school time to do that teaching to each and every one of you, as well as the ones in the classrooms. And they're going to be talking about faith in their classroom today, and also next week is the subject that they're looking at, as far as talking about the character building and the virtues that we're trying to emphasize through the Sunday school. This morning we had an excellent lead into what I'm going to be thinking about for this morning, trying to present, and that is, where were we? And it talked about what kind of persons we were. We went through some of that in the worship time. And my thought would be continue on, where are we now? What's happening in your life? And I was looking at two aspects. I'll look at two aspects. So the first one being, what have you done for me lately? Sometimes that subject might not say out front, but that might be the thought that's been going on underneath as people look as to what is going on for their life from other people. What are you doing for me lately? And so we'll look at some aspects under that, and then I have a second part afterwards. I have four P's to consider. So we'll take a look at what's happening in your life under the aspect of what have you done for me lately. And I'd like to illustrate it with, I'll be using this book a little bit, and I'll tell you the author and the book title afterwards, but to take and illustrate some of these different points this morning here. This first one is about a person called George. Kind of interesting name, George, you know. And he has these problems that he takes and talks about, to the point of, because he responded to questions, somebody asked him, "Well, how are you doing?" The author of the book asked, "Well, how are you doing?" So he responds for a long, long time. And so he says to him, "He'd like to really help you out, but," he says, "I might have some thought," after he said this part. He says, "If you could only get me loose from this mess of problems that is making my life miserable. Problems, 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 more problems. That's all I have, and I'm sick of it. I'm fed up with problems." He threw up his hands in a gesture of futility and despair, and perhaps that might sound like some of us. Where were we? Where are we now? Well, perhaps we're consumed with the problems that we face. And so the interesting part is, he says, "Well, I'd like to help you, but maybe I can add to this with this particular thought." And so he gives him this thought. "I was at a place the other day, not very far from here, where there were 100,000 people, and not a single one of them had a problem." "Boy, that's for me," responded George, showing the first glimmer of optimism I've yet detected in him. "That sure is for me. Where is this place? Lead me to it." And so he's got him hooked, huh? "Well, if you really want to know," he said, "it's Woodlawn Cemetery in the Bronx." "There are no problems there. None at all. But the trouble is that everyone in Woodlawn is dead." "So, George," I continued, "don't be too sorry that you have those problems, for actually they're a sign of life. They prove that you aren't dead." And so that was his first initial thought that he kind of gave to them, and kind of humorous. I thought it was kind of humorous myself there. But he goes on to say, "So be glad. Yes, actually be glad that you have problems. Be grateful for them, as implying that God has confidence in your ability to handle these problems which he has entrusted you. Adopt this attitude towards problems, and it will tend to siphon off the depression you may have developed from a negative reaction toward them. And as you develop the habit of thinking in hopeful terms about your problems, you will find yourself doing much better with them." And so that was two thoughts that he gave to this person with regards to problems. But that's something that consumes us, perhaps. We may have realized that we needed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that's major problem taken care of. But then we still have our life as a Christian life. And as I talked a couple of weeks ago, remember the path down this way versus the path through this way? that we had given. Well, we have difficulty Monday through Friday and Saturday of what to do with our life a little bit. This particular author from this book, I'd like to give you a little bit of background. You might, I'll give it to you, then I'll explain a little bit more. As we're thinking about problems, though, we went to the missionary conference, and the amount of problems we had there, as I looked at those and saw that, I'm thinking, what, our problems are really small compared to what some of these other people really go through. But nonetheless, sometimes even with the 9/11 situation, we think of all those problems, and yet up surfaces later on our own problems, and they still affect us very heavily. So with that in mind, I'd like to look at the second P, is this personal testimony of this person's life, this author's life, a little bit. He started with fifth grade, talking about a teacher who was a big guy that used to give out spankings. And so they respected him really for that part of it. But another thing that impressed him way back in fifth grade was he would put on the blackboard the word can't, C-A-N apostrophe T. And so he would look at them and say, here's the word. If I erase one letter, what do we have? Can. And so that really impressed him for the rest of his life, the fact that get away from the thought of maybe can't doing things to can doing things. And so it started out early for that. His father was involved as a doctor, medical doctor, but through, I guess, a serious illness, he had to take and or somehow get out of that and got into the preaching aspect of it. And so for him, as a boy, with all his life he spent in church, and he enjoyed his father's ministry and enjoyed that, but as he went off to college for 4 years, he just sort of got away from the things of God completely. And so, in a sense, it was kind of like a wasted time for him. And so then he had to take and really examine himself, and as he came back and listened to his father some more as he came back on vacation and listened to what he had to say and how he lived, he realized that there was something still different about his father that he must be missing. And so again, as he traveled down his pathway, he was having ups and downs, as many of us do. So as for my father's practical religious emphasis, I began to see that there was a way out of my own conflicts. This started me on the search for peace of mind, for victory over myself, and for the strength and power I was sure Christianity offered. I did not find it all at once. I think that's a very important statement. I did not find it all at once. So down on this pathway as we go with our problems, not everything is going to be all there right in the beginning. Indeed, it was a long and often frustrating search. But I found enough so that, like my father before me, I too felt a definite call to the ministry. And so through that, he was going through this process. He still felt that the Lord was calling him. So he decided to go to this Boston University School of Theology. And this is what he says about that. He says, I did not find the answer to my own problem, which I was still seeking. The first attempt of the faculty was to upset my simple faith and to substitute an intellectualized approach to the teachings of Jesus, which made them kind of a social manifesto. And so he goes on to talking about how they proclaimed the social gospel, and it was kind of like put through, and he responded to that and sort of run along with that. But he said, however, after a few years of preaching this exclusive social emphasis, I began to grow skeptical of it as the answer of answers. But yet he was still under the influence of this kind of social gospel, and instead of looking in the scriptures, it was kind of working on him, and because he liked some of the, you know, the intellectual type of talking, but he was having difficulty. So here is a person believing in the Lord and yet still having the struggles. And so he says he saw the struggles in the extreme ends of the liberal mind of thinking and the fundamentalist. So he decided to travel down the middle of the road with average, sensible people who didn't have all the answers and who realized that fact, but were humbly seeking God. And so he was going back to that rather than the intellectuals, and then he decided to pastor a church there that he had, and he enjoyed that. But then he had to move on to another place, and again he was going through the struggle because of again, dealing with intellectual type of people, that made him wonder that there's something still lacking. And so, again, on his pathway, I just wanted to point out this person's life a little bit in the sense that the struggle he was going through, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're immune from struggling. Even though you know the way and have been involved in it, there's a lot of struggle in accepting the principles that are laid down in God's Word. He says, I began a very serious scientific study of people who had expressed definite, profound changes in their personalities. Former drunks, thieves, and troubled people of all kinds who were now entirely free of their former difficulty. I found in almost every case that it was an in-depth surrender to Jesus Christ that had brought about amazing changes. And so again, the power of the Lord working in somebody's life and noticing that. He still continued to take and have some struggles. And so in his pathway, while it was should be this way, he was back and forth like this a little bit. He says, in my mind, I roamed far and wide in an attempt to find a system of faith and a method for practicing that faith that would give me personal victory over myself. Before I could even help other people to victory, I had to find it for myself, else I would be another case of the blind leading the blind, both going into the ditch. I began reading certain spiritual literature, which I had become aware was increasingly pouring into homes of people in the churches and reaching them too. This material came from the Unity Movement, from the Science of Mind, from various metaphysical teachers, from Christian Science, the Orthodox Group, and the Moral Rearmament. Some of that I've heard of it before. He's got some other guys here, Glenn Clark, Star Daily, and Sam Shoemaker, other authors. I haven't heard of them. But these writers taught that Jesus Christ established a scientific, completely workable way of thought and life that brought about change and victory. And so you can indeed see, if you can remember any of that literature, maybe you haven't heard of it before, but some of it goes out. And so the search was indeed wide for what he was looking for. He goes on to say, though, that his belief is as follows. I believe in the Bible as the Word of God as sincerely as the most dyed-in-the-wool fundamentalist, apart from the stolid vocabulary, and approach some of the, I accept completely the plan of salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God and our Lord and Savior. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth of Christ, and indeed in all the statements of the Apostles' Creed. I go right down the line with historic doctrines of the Christian Church, but I also believe that this ancient faith can be taught in a new and fresh thought, in fresh thought and language forms, and applied scientifically and with creative power in people's lives, that it can solve the toughest problems of human nature and society too. So he's got the background that he has, but I just want to point out where he's been because of the fact of this person I can remember from years ago. I don't know, anybody know who I'm talking about, who this person is? Probably wouldn't have too much of a clue. And maybe some of you wouldn't have even heard of him, but the person's name is Norman Vincent Peale. Okay, so it's an older person. I don't know if he's still alive or if he still has pushed out or published any other thing, but he was promoting what idea? Anybody remember now?
Positive thinking.
And I can remember hearing about it. I remember hearing a couple of times when he's talking a little bit, but I was thinking about the idea of, is this okay? Just where is he going with some of this sometimes? And it kind of bothered me a little bit with this thinking of positive thinking, that if we think so hard, we can make things happen. If I want to make this piano rise and I think long enough and hard enough about it, I can make it rise. Well, forget it now. It ain't going to happen. But I do realize that if it's involved with God's work and plan, that he can overcome the impossible. And there's cases in Bible. And so under certain situations, God may see fit to get around the supernatural. And so I think definitely that does make a difference to think positively about things and can make a difference. But as he goes through this particular book, it seems like this book was written later on in his life. And so it was encouragement for me to look at this and see it because of the fact of realizing where he's come from. He sort of gives a little bit of autobiography about where he's been and what he's been doing through his life. I don't know what he did with some of the other books there, but some of his thinking and some of his background that led to some of this process. How do we get to where we are? How is the path going that we're on? We need to take and examine it and what our sources are as well, too. But I was thinking that, this idea of creative part, this idea of scientific. Well, science always bothers me. It's a good thing. I enjoy science. I enjoy looking at how things are brought about. But when they start making it into the place over God, I disagree with that. So science can be deadly for some people that have trouble. The idea of being creative, I like the fact of, as I'll show you in some of these examples, the fact of it's not so much what we do that's creative, that might be a different way of doing something, but the fact of how God is very creative and how he answers and does things in our lives. And so the creativity comes from him as he responds to our lives. And so there's these problems that we have, and this person decides to take and tell you and respond to it by having positive thinking. So, just one other thought with regards to him. How many have ever heard of the book Guidepost? Ever seen that in maybe some doctor's office? Okay. I didn't realize it, but I happened to see that, and it seemed like it was interesting. Take and read some of it pretty good. But yet didn't seem to be quite right. And so the idea, what I'm trying to say, is the subtleness of things that are out there. They're involved with that, or he was. It says that they celebrated their 16th anniversary when this book was written here, and it's been edited by the board consisting of Jews, Catholics, and Protestants. It's never carried advertising, and depending upon its purpose was to publish true life stories of people who have overcome fear, failure, and defeat through the power of God and human experience with the opportunity inherent in American freedom. And so it's not just one denominational, but it's a mixture. They try to put everything together, and the purpose necessarily isn't to have people saved, but to help people out. And so while it may be a good thing, it's not like the Daily Bread, which we have. The Daily Bread, excellent book to take and look at and supplement. I'm not saying this is bad, but again, now knowing about the author a little bit and about the background where they come from, you can maybe understand a little bit as you read something why it's written like it is. So I want to give you that information too, because sometimes we run into something, this sounds pretty good, but where does it come from? Because it doesn't, I looked the other day, it doesn't give you any place where it comes from or nothing. And so, again, just a little help for you on that part of it, that things in the world may look pretty good. Should we take and, you need to take a look at them against the scriptures. But the second part of this thing, where are you at? What's happening? I asked the first question, what have you done for me lately? And considered problems and this guy's personal testimony a little bit. But the second part is, what have you done for you lately? And that's where I'd like to consider the rest of it for this evening, or this afternoon, this morning. What have you done for you lately? The fact of you're accountable for your life, for your pathway, and so what have you done for yourself to help you out? There's two P's involved with that. I'd like to take and illustrate it with three stories that he has in here. So again, I'll be doing some reading, and I apologize for the reading of it, but I can't recall, and there's some good detail in here to take and consider. Some years ago, this person continued, I was in a difficult situation. Business was in bad shape, and my state of mind was even worse. I was a victim of fear, self-doubt, and indecision. And so that's the problems that he's presenting to the people, to this person, as he talks about his story. He says, through your books, I took to the reading of the Bible, and for the first time in my life, I learned to pray. One day I made a deal with the Lord. And so while I told you a little bit about his background, it's good some of the answers that he gave. You made a deal with the Lord? Now when he said that, I shrank back a little because I'm always suspicious of such talk, which I thought was a good caution to take. You know, people taking time to maybe negotiate with God. The phrase is not a happy one, and neither is the idea, but the prayer this man had prayed which he went on to describe to me was quite right. This is what he had said, that this guy said. Lord, the first thing I'm going to ask you for is good health. Give me a strong body. Then give me the ability to think clearly. Give me honest to goodness courage so I can keep going when the going is hard. And give me new real confidence. Finally, just let me know that you are with me and that I'm not going it alone. Lord, give me those five things and I will do the rest myself. And so it's to me a little dangerous type of a prayer to put through, not because of God's lack of ability, but because of ours. You know, he says, I will do the rest myself. We tend to fail. And so what happens if God doesn't give you those things? Or if you tend to take and he keeps up his part and you turn around and fail? The part that I want you to get through is understanding and give me real confidence. Finally, just let me know that you are with me, that I'm not going it alone. One of the things that can help us in our life, as he brings out in this book, is the idea of presence of God. And so it's the P that we have. We have problems. We have this guy's personal testimony. But the presence of God. Do you realize the presence of God in your life and what he can do for you? He went on to say that, did the Lord give you those five things? He said, yeah, he did. But he didn't just hand them out for the asking. My friend said in his racy style, which I soon realized was his characteristic, he did not take his religion flippantly, was apparent. The Lord put me through a ringer several times, and I cried, ouch, more than once. But he let me feel that he was with me, and that made the going a lot easier. He kept his whole part of the bargain. You can count on God. He won't let you down if you hold him up. And so the idea, God didn't let him down, but that doesn't mean that he is always going to give what we ask when we ask it. And he points out in this book several times that even though we might try this, some of these different things that sort of sound scientific or maybe creative in a sense, they're just sort of common sense ideas. Just thinking about God's presence and including that in your life and the help that it can be as you take and dwell upon that. So there's one case, and it happens to be about a businessman. There's two other ones. They also about businesses, but you can use this for your life as well, too, in other areas, not just people that are in business. Man told me he had for some days felt a decline in energy. He decided he was pushing himself pretty hard, so knocked off for two. Let's see, is that the one I want? Oh, I'm sorry. This man, he seems had been having quite a hard time. Everything tended to go wrong, especially in business affairs. He kept running into stone walls and roadblocks, as he put it. His worsening situation left him increasingly frustrated and discouraged. What bothered him most was that constructive ideas no longer came to him. His mind was a dry well, bone dry. At this juncture, he happened to read in one of my newspaper columns about the spiritual and practical technique, which I describe as taking God as a partner. A phraseology new to him, but which simply meant putting your life into God's hands and letting him run it. And so that's what he was going on, taking God as your partner. Think of the problems that he had. Think of the fact of going dry. Sometimes as we go out and troubleshoot on a machine, you try to take and think of where you should take it. Well, I should do this first, and then I should do that next. But sometimes it just sort of dries up, and you just don't have, well, I don't know where to go next. In fact, I just happened to have that the other day, and I'll tell you a minute about that. But the fact of how things can go dry on you, and you just see, well, where do I go now, you know? But this was in regards to his business. It says, a phraseology so new to him, but which simply meant putting your life in God's hands and letting God run it. I stated in the article that this simple practice had activated new power, stimulated thinking, and improved performance for many who applied it. My friend found this article interesting and decided to do the basic spiritual thinking which it described. He reasoned that he had tried everything else, so that he might as well give this a fling also. So as he sat at his desk, he prayed somewhat as follows: Lord, I'll have to admit that I can't seem to handle my situation. I do not seem to get any good ideas anymore. I hate to admit it, but I guess I'm just about licked. This business isn't going well at all. Humbly, I ask you to be my senior partner. I have nothing to offer you except myself. Please change me and clean up the mess I'm in and also the mess I am personally. I really do not understand how this can be done, and I may as well tell you frankly, Lord, I have my doubts about it, for it's a new one on me, but I'm ready to do anything that you tell me and will give this partnership a sincere try. Otherwise, I'm in a bad way. So he asked him, did you really say that? And he says, yes, I did. He says, as he goes to report on, I sat back in my chair and nothing happened. I don't know exactly what I expected, but I had a slight feeling of being let down. I thought to myself, well, this is just one of those things. But then I noticed I was feeling sort of peaceful and easy. I decided to go out and take a walk. I don't know why. It just seemed to me to do the best thing to do. I walked for about a mile and then turned around, thinking I'd better get back to the office. The way back, as I came to the corner, I stopped suddenly and just stood at the curb. Into my mind popped an idea that had not occurred to me before, an idea for solving my main problem. I don't know where it came from. It seems like it came right out of the blue. But now I know all right where it came from. I hurried back to my office and at once started putting the idea into action. It wasn't long until things began to click, one after another. And after a few weeks, the whole situation began to look up. I saw the light for the first time, and other supporting ideas came too. The old brain was on the go again. I could continue each day putting myself completely into God's hands. But notice, I had some hard days. Don't think I didn't. There are still some big difficulties to deal with, plenty of them. But for the first time, I was making progress from day to day, and perhaps what was even more important, I felt very different. So the idea of having God's presence again in a person's life, even though he doesn't point out directly, God takes and really works them around. And that's what I'm saying. The answers creatively by God are really interesting. One more, excuse me, as an example. Another person who found this method to be effective runs a large business. He told me that he once faced with a problem so worrisome that he struggled with it day and night. It rested so heavily upon his mind that he couldn't sleep. He grew tense, irritable, nervous. The more he wrestled with it, the more complex and hopeless the problem seemed. Actually, as he tightened up mentally, he was squeezing off the answers and solutions. Pacing his office, he chanced to pause in front of his mother's picture. He gazed upon his mother's face. He remembered something he had heard her say many times in perplexing family situations. Let's just let the problem rest a while and think about God. This thought seemed to be a direct message to him in his present situation. So he removed all the papers from his desk, shoved them into a drawer, pushed it shut. He said to himself, now the decks are clear. I will turn away from this problem for a while. From another drawer, he took out his Bible, settled back in his chair, and started reading in the book of Psalms. And there, believe it or not, he sat for a full half hour, quietly reading the Bible. He turned to some of the passages he knew best and read the great words aloud. Finally, he closed the Bible and sat quiet still, thinking about God. He thought about God's goodness, his providence, how vast his mind, his great love. Then he offered a silent prayer of thanksgiving. A feeling of calm pervaded his thoughts. His mind grew quiet. His body felt rested. He was relaxed. He returned back to work considerably refreshed and stimulated. Suddenly, the thought came to him to go down the street and see a certain man. There was no connection, so far as he could see, between his problem and the man whose name had suddenly occurred to him. But he reasoned that since the thought had come to just after prayer, maybe he'd better go see the man. So he went, and in the course of conversation with this other man, he made a seemingly irrelevant remark, which in turn triggered a thought that burst upon my friend's mind with a force of sudden inspiration. He saw in it clearly indicated the first step to a solution of his problems. Subsequent events proved that he had received the real answer. As a consequence of his experience, he now follows the same procedure with any problem posing substantial difficulty. He withdraws attention from the problem long enough to concentrate his faculties upon God. Then he goes back to the problem. And so he finds this method valid for all kinds of problems. He says it consistently works. And so the idea, again, the third example, the presence of God in our life and how God can creatively use when we're willing to take a look for Him. Some interesting examples, to say none the least, but we had an excellent example last week, as a brother Gavin Aiken spoke about the Emmaus Road and the fact that they were having the problem with what had taken place, and yet the people didn't realize His presence when He was right with them until they realized His presence, and then what a difference that made, and then their hearts ended up burning. And so the procedure, if you might want to call it procedures, one thing is when we have to take and have difficulties, just think about the presence of God. How He's going to take and solve your problems will be different than how He deals with somebody else. But the idea of realizing the presence of God is the first aspect that was a very good one. The memory verse that we have for next week is what? Yeah, is which says, Lo, I'm with you, always. Do you realize His presence? I had an opportunity to take and do that. I've shared it with you before, but maybe some haven't heard of it. I had the heart attack there. I was in the hospital, still not knowing that I had the heart attack, what it was. And then the doctor finally told me after they found out for sure that what I had. And that was when we were having Uncle Dave's meetings, and he wanted us to learn a portion from 1 Peter 5. I had learned it, part of it. It was the first verse, though, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It was the first thing that came into my mind after he told me that. And it just gave me a peace that I can't tell you. It just did that. So I say that because we went to rehab classes afterwards, and we had to do the exercises, but every Wednesday we had like a special class to take and deal with something. Sometimes they talked about food, sometimes they talked about the medication, sometimes they talked about some other things. Well, the one class that they had afterwards was about from the spiritual side, and was given by more or less like a head person from the Catholic hospital, something in the chaplaincy or whatever. I don't know what her position was there, but she was trying to sort of emphasize about the spiritual part. She began it by asking about the different ones in there. How did you feel when you had your problem with most of the people in there? Either some sort of a stroke or a heart attack or whatever. And the anger and the hatred that came out of that, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. People were really angry that they had a heart attack or that they were in this condition. And she says, well, that's the problem. So I'm glad she realized it. But then I took and gave her what happened to me and the peace that I had. And she almost said, well, that's not possible. People can't be like that. And I says, here she's trying to emphasize the spiritual part, and yet she's denying what God can do. And I, some of the other people said, thank you for just sharing that, you know. But there is the difference between what God can do in our lives as we realize His presence, as we realize His word, no matter what the situation is. And as I said, we all go through different things, and they're not all the same. They're a problem, but they might not be all the same solution. So we have to realize God's presence. He gives that. He gives also, as we went through those examples, they also mentioned about prayer is the second one. His presence, and then second of all, prayer. But he goes further than just mentioning about prayer, the fact that as we have problems, we're taking, write them down. And so I would pass that on to you about writing down what your problems are. There's something, I don't know what it does, but writing things down, as I've said to you before, as I take some of the notes that I take here, I may not look at them again, but through the process of writing it down, it seems to put something in my head so some of those things stay through just by writing them down. And it's a blessing just to take and do that. And so these two solutions I can offer to you as things as you have problems, from His personal testimony, He's also used these things, that of God's presence and using prayer. But He also gives a couple methods, and of doing things. And one is he told somebody to just take a list down as you go through your reading of, let's say, the New Testament, list down what Jesus tells you to do. Go through and just tell it. And so as the person went down and listed what God told him to do, and then tried to live by those things or include those things in his life, and so this person later on came back to him and said, that made such a tremendous difference in my life. So here's a method, and maybe that's where the scientific part and the creative part comes from, that was done that they could do. Another one sort of along the same line, another method is the fact of taking and reading the Gospels and taking and underscoring every sentence that has sort of like a healthy thought to it. Not necessarily a negative thought, but a healthy thought. Memorize them, think upon them, do it and repeat it until you know them. And so he left that with the person as far as it, and then later on he came back and says it changed his life completely as he took and thought about the positive things that are in, it's just even in the Gospels. And so there's some, in a sense, if you want to call it scientific, where you take and look at something and study it and try to see how the results go. Those are just two methods that you can take and use. So thinking about God's presence, thinking about prayer, adding to the fact of just looking for the good things and putting those into your life can really take and make a difference in your life. So here we have a person that we had that has this positive thinking that he's trying to promote. And he was in the religious realm all his life under that kind of thing. But then in our power page, I don't know how many read this from last week, but here's this Paul McGuire. And just read a part of it here. As a young boy, I thought science could give me the answers to my questions about life. And so here's this idea about science. So reading every book I could get my hands on about science, the lives of the great scientists, I often devoured 10 books a week. I thought that was quite amazing. So he talks about the different ones he read there. I undertook amateur experiments on cryogenics and nuclear physics. Soon, however, I realized that these brilliant men did not have the answers I was looking for. Thus, at an early age, I discovered the bankruptcy of scientific materialism. And so just by science alone isn't enough. After exhausting science as a means of finding the meaning of life, I next investigated the occult and Eastern religions. And so, again, here's the pathway. Here's another person, direct opposite. It wasn't involved with religious aspect at all, trying to find the answers and the pathway. He says, but biblical Christianity was not even an option for me. He didn't want to even consider it. He says, although I did not recognize it as religious, the religious philosophy of my upbringing was secular humanism. And so there's part two. I'm going to read part two today here in today's paper. But here's somebody completely opposite, and I remember the name from before there, but again, how God could take and even save him, and that's amazing in itself, and the fact of, again, the pathway that he perhaps went down. I referred to it 2 weeks ago as we talked about virtues, having the principles. What's the principles? Well, the principles would be presence and prayer that I would give you to take to your virtues as you take and realize that what's the right way to go. We know that it means that we're also, virtue also means, as I said, that we're capable of doing the wrong thing. But taking the right principles, presence and prayer, and applying them to applications, that's the right way to go. And it will add virtue to your life. Let me just take and read this that I didn't have a chance the other day to take and refer to. This professor is talking about these happiness thieves, these luck-limiting emotions, which include shyness, anger, and resentment. Turn off people who would otherwise be willing to help you. Getting these negative emotions under control will likely help you have a higher level of self-esteem, be more optimistic, and be slightly more extroverted. It's one thing to feel these negative emotions, but another to show them. What does that sort of sound like? Well, it sort of sounds like the same thing this guy's talking about here. But there's no mention of God at all. They're talking about in the realm of luck. And so people are talking about using optimism, using things that make sense. And again, just like as I mentioned before about talking about the different virtues, the world's trying to take and say, I see some good things in those things. I see some good things in those directions, but without God. And so even as Norman Vincent Peale says in his book many times, without God, none of these methods are going to work. It has to have God in it and be a part of it. This person that started out with this thing, why they talked about it, was in this accident. And it's again shows you how some people might think about the idea of their luck. It says that she was loading a box of wires into the back of her son's van. The 55-year-old event manager I had been helping, her son, an aspiring DJ and so forth, as she shut the back door, a car swerved onto the road where the van was parked and rear-ended the vehicle, crushing her into the back of the car. The incoherent driver backed up and hit her again more than two times before the crowd forced the drunk driver to stop. All of her ribs were broken, her lungs were punctured, her right leg had to be amputated on the spot by emergency workers. She had to be airlifted, and it took her slipped in a coma that lasted almost 4 weeks. The 26 operations that followed over the next 4 years were painful. Loss of her leg and her job could have been devastating, but a lifelong, hard-charging optimist kept her spirits high. And I'm sure that it did, being an optimist. And she says, I've always thought of myself as lucky and still do. I don't know how she can think that, if that's considered good fortune, that she's went through all of that. I wouldn't consider that I'd like to go through that route. But because of having optimism, I'm sure that it helped her. So having this idea of being positive certainly is a plus. But with God, it's definitely the plus that's needed. If you leave God out of the picture, you're not sure of the results at all. If you have God in the picture, even though you might not see the end of it, you can be definitely sure that he's there with you and will help you through it. And so there's a couple examples for you to take and consider. I'd like to just turn to Deuteronomy for one verse there that was an excellent verse that's given yesterday. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Maybe you've seen it before or thought about it before, but if you haven't marked it, as you think about different problems that come into your life, Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, and the Lord, he it is who doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And so God's word in your life can make the difference. His presence, as you think about it, as you pray about it, can make the difference to have a positive change, a positive result for you and for others around it as they see that. Another verse is Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so as you talk about the pathways that you might find yourself in, where are you? We know where we were from our morning worship time. Where are you now? I trust that you might realize that the problems that you face, whatever they might be, as great as they might be or small, might be found to be helpful by considering his presence in your life, and using prayer and using God's word to study it and having him reveal to you the things that he needs to reveal to you. And only through him can you, sometimes the people, we can't do that. God can give you the answers that you need.